Beginning in verse number 15. If you're able to stand, would you stand with us, please, in honor of the Word of God? And as we read John 15, chapter 14, beginning verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come in unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Father, we're thankful for the day. Thank you for every person that's come. Thank you for a privilege, God, to call upon you and worship, and as we sing and as we pray and as we read your word. And Lord, I ask for this message that, Lord, we just continue to worship you as you speak to us, and I pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to each of us individually and corporately as a church body. Lord, we need you today. We need to know, Lord, your word, and we need to know your will. And God, we need your strength to help us to do it. Lord, we need your love in us that we might love you in a way that is pleasing to you. And so, God, I'm asking you, inviting you to work. And, Father, I know that I don't have to invite you into this place because you're omnipresent. But, Lord, I just invite you to work in my life. And, God, I invite you to work in the lives of every person here, that your perfect will be done. And Lord, we ask you, if there's anyone in this building lost, having never known you as Lord and Savior and pardon and forgiveness of sin, Lord, I pray that today you'd bring them under conviction, and God, you'd give them the ability to repent. Lord, I pray that you would break the dominion of sin in their life. And God, I'm asking you that you'd give them the ability, Lord, to trust you with all of their heart and yield to you as Lord and Savior of their life. Father, I pray for those that are in this building today that are saved and yet stuck, entangled in the things of this world, not having a passion or a zeal to serve you. God, I pray that today you'd restore the backslidden. God, you'd bring back and renew and revive and refresh those that are cold in the faith. And God, I pray that you'd encourage each of us. Lord, we ask that you would just bind the evil one and every hindrance that he might try to bring in this place. and in the hearts and lives of each person here. And God, may you set us free today to worship you, and your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. This morning, I'd like to continue to build on something that we started last week about how do we know that we are saved? How do we know that we are saved? Now, last week we looked and seen that we had to dig deep and lay the foundation in a relationship with God, in a way that we know that God is working in us, in a way that we understand that we haven't just had an encounter with God, but the fact that God has worked in our life and broken us of ourselves, and that our lives are now built on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. Today I'd like to go just a little bit further with that thought about how do we know that we are saved. Today I'd like to work with, and maybe for a couple messages here, we'll be working with the fact that we know that we're saved because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I want you to understand the Scripture has a lot to say about God the Holy Spirit, especially from a New Testament perspective. And the Holy Ghost is not some mythical being. It's not some mysterious being that, but it is God. He is God manifested. God the Holy Ghost manifested, third person of the Godhead of the Trinity. We know that He is as much God as God the Father and God the Son, and they are without division. They're without any separation. They're without any competition between them. They are one in motive and purpose, but manifested differently in our lives. And so today, we want to just explore how that the Holy Spirit begins to work in our life. We know that when we are saved, that as we are saved, what makes us different is that we are regenerated a new person because we have something new inside of us. And that something new inside of us is the Holy Spirit, that He comes in and He abides with us, that God places Himself in us, and today I want us to just look at some of the things that He does in us. The first thing I want you to see out of this passage here is that we have a helper. Now, I want you to understand that when we are saved, and I've heard people say before, you know, I would give my life to the Lord, I would yield myself to salvation, but I just don't think I can live for God. Well, I just want to put you at ease today, if you might be fit in that category, but because you can't live for God. Amen. You can't please God. I don't care what you do. You are not good enough. You're not good looking enough. You don't have enough money. You're not talented enough to impress God in any kind of way. Amen. He's God. He can do anything He wants to, anytime He wants to. He could, and He did. He just spoke the world into existence, and all of a sudden, right out of nothing was everything. Amen. God is that kind of God. So what is it that we could do to impress God? And what is it of our own strength that we could do that God would say, okay, you're strong enough, you're talented enough, you're handsome enough, you're beautiful enough, you come from the right people, so come on into heaven. No, none of that works. None of that works, amen? But we can't live for God. We can't live the Christian life. And Jesus made that abundantly clear as in the Sermon on the Mount, as He laid out the law of God and the very character of God and who God is. We can't, as individuals, as human beings, we can't get to God, and we can't live for God. We can't live the life that God expects. We can't obtain into the holiness to please God in this life of ourselves. We cannot. And I know that busts some of you's bubble, but that's just the way it is. Amen? We just can't do it. And so if you're waiting to in order for you to get strong enough to live the Christian life before you're saved, friends, it's like saving money to get married. It ain't happening. Amen? You're never going to save enough money to get married. I promise you that. Amen. To afford it. Are you with me? Listen, we just going to have to trust God. Amen. And back to business, we have to give up. And this is where a lot of us don't want to do it. We just have to give up and say, Lord, I'm nothing. I can't do what you want me to do. I can't be what you want me to be. I can't live the life you want me to live. And so I'm just giving myself to you, and you do whatever you want to in me. Amen. You do whatever you want to through me. And so that's what God does. Amen. Whenever we come to that place where we throw up our hands, so to speak, and we bow ourselves before a holy God, and we say, Lord, I am a helpless, hopeless sinner. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. Take my sin away. Forgive me. Come into my life and be my Lord. Hell, are you with me? And be my Lord. You see, this is where we get away from a lot of things here. Especially, I'm going to talk on the Baptist realm because I don't know much about everybody else. But I know in the Baptist realm, a lot of times we get this idea that somehow or another, all we have to do is just repeat this prayer, do this thing. And I talked about that extensively last week, to just kind of go through something, to have some kind of encounter emotionally or maybe even physically that God does something in our life. And then we just think we're saved. No, friends, it's when we come to the place where we yield ourselves wholly and completely to God and say, Lord, come into my life. Show me what I need to do and help me to do it. Now, here's where we get to. When we are saved, we have a helper. Amen. He helps us. He helps us to know the will of God. He helps us to do the will of God. He is our helper. And the King James Version, the translation of the other Greek word comes out comforter. Some of you, you're looking at a translation, it comes out a helper here. But in either case, friends, the word itself is parakletos. And it literally means one call to come alongside. One call to come alongside. In other words, that if you needed help carrying a load, and you reach down, and most of us men do it from time to time in particular, we reach down and say, I can pick that up. Isn't it true? I can pick that up. But we lift properly with our legs, right? Instead, and not our back. Well, maybe I can't pick that up by myself. So we say, Brother Roger, come back in here. There he is. How could I miss something that big? So we look around. If I want somebody to help me pick something up, I want the biggest, strongest guy in here. Amen? I mean, I don't want somebody like me. Right? I mean, if I get somebody like me, I could have done it to begin with. Right? But I want somebody like me. I want somebody who has more strength than I do. And so I realize I can't pick it up. So I call on Brother Roger. I said, Brother Roger, come up here. Come along beside me and help me lift this load. That's the essence of the Greek word there. Come along beside me. Get beside me and help me along with this load, or help me along this road. I'm stuck. I can't get through here. I need somebody to push me. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to get me through. Come along beside me. Friends, now I want to tell you something. We all need a helper. Every one of us. There is none of us that can do the things of God by ourselves. We need God to do a God work in us and through us. Amen. And the only way we can do that is if God helps us. Amen. Listen, God calls us to do a God-sized work. And in order for us to do that, we are mere humans. We can't do a God-sized work. We need God. And so, God knows what we need even before that we ask. Is that not what the Word of God said? But friends, I want you to understand, when we are saved, God does something special that sets us apart from every other religion and belief in the world. Friends, when God saves us, we yield our life to Him. He places within us the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been working on that. He places within us the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. He takes up residence with us, and He begins to do God's work in us, that God's work might be done through us. And He has to do it. And so we know that we're saved because verse 15 said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we've already established we can't do that by ourselves. Our old human flesh is too strong and too weak spiritually. We are to do this will of God, to do the word of God. We need God to do something in us and through us. And so God does what before we even are able, friends, to understand what He's doing. God at the point of salvation allows Himself to come into us and abide with us. Paul said to the Corinthians, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you understand if you have not the Spirit, you're none of mine? Amen. And he says here, Jesus told his disciples, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. Now, why do you say another comforter? Another helper. Why? Because at that point in history, he was standing right there with them. Hello? Are you with me? Boy, the Bible's complicated, ain't it? He was standing there with them, so he said, I'm not going to be here. Amen. He's trying to teach them something here. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to be buried. And third day I'm going to be raised. And I'm not going to be here. But I'm going to ask the Father. And the Father's going to send to you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to be with you. Another helper. Another comforter. Another intercessor, if you will. Another one that works on our behalf. That helper that moves in us to do what we cannot do of ourself. And I want you to see that the scripture goes on, that he may abide with you forever. Only God can do an eternal work, friends. Are y'all with me? That he would abide with you forever. Friends, that means from the day I am saved, from the day that I give up my life and I say, Lord, forgive me my sin, come into my life and be my Lord. The Holy Spirit comes into me and my nature is new because there's a newness in me called the Holy Ghost. Amen. He is with me. He's not going to leave me. Friends, I want you to understand that he has come not to just to be a spectator in my life. Hello, if you're saved today, the Holy Ghost is not with you just to be a spectator. He is your helper. He is the one come alongside, come with you, that he can do what you can't do. He's the one that holds you when you can't hold yourself. He's the one that lifts you when you're down. You see, we all need help, friends. We all need help physically. We physically cannot meet all the demands of life except God helps us to do that, to live that life. And so he helps us physically. He helps us emotionally, amen, that he comforts us in a time of trouble. And verse number 1 in that same chapter said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Comforter, he is the one who is able to lift us up in a time of mourning, a time of grieving, a time when we are down and out, a time when we're despondent, a time when we are depressed, a time when we are emotionally wiped out. Friends, he is the one that comes and abides in us, that lifts us out of the dungeon of despair, amen, and sets our feet on a solid rock, that we have the strength to live the life that God wants. That's our help. Friends, we need help. We need help spiritually because let me tell you something. we live in this fallen world, and the Scripture teaches us that Satan is the prince and power of the air, the world system. Amen? And we always are facing, we know that we're in a battle always. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. When you are saved, friends, the battle doesn't stop, it starts. Hello, are y'all with me? The battle doesn't stop. It just starts in a whole new dimension. But this time you have somebody that is with you, amen, that is greater in you than the Satan is and all of his demonic forces that are in this world system. God in you, if you're saved today, is greater than all that is against you. Amen. He is so great in us that the Scripture said that God never allows us to be able to be tempted above which we're able to stand, but with every temptation, He makes a way of escape. Hello, are y'all with me? We need a helper because, friends, the devil brings about everything that he can. He throws everything he can at us, including the kitchen sink sometimes, amen, especially when you get a leak under it. Amen. Yeah. He throws everything at you, amen, to try to get you off track, try to get your mind, your focus off God, off the Word of God, off the power of God. He's always tempting you to sin in your thoughts. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth, it gives birth to an actual act of sin. He's always working in the realm of this world and even through other people that are about us, amen. Hello, are y'all with me? There's always conflicts. There's always trouble. There's always strife of some sort. And there's always moaning and groaning and complaining and bellyaching and whatever. It doesn't matter if you're saved, friends. You still face all of that. And if you're not careful, you will be a part of that. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Go ahead. Thank you. It's true. If y'all not going to say amen, I'll amen myself. Listen. We need the help of God in our life. We know we are saved because we feel the help of God in our life. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are living above our means. Are you with me? Now, a lot of people living above their means. But that's financially speaking. Amen. But there's fewer people that understand that I am saved because I am living a life that I cannot live by myself. I'm living that life because the Holy Ghost is in me. And because He's enabling me. He's come along to get that load with me and to pick it up where I can't even budge it. Not only can He pick it up, He can pack it. Amen. And sometimes, friend, you know you're saved because every now and then God gives you the good sense to just take a moment and look back in your life and see all the places that God brought you through. Amen? We need the helper. We know we're saved because the Holy Ghost in us is Parakletos. He is the one come along beside of us, in us. And we have the promise that He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He has taken up residence in our life. The help. I wonder today, do you feel the power of God in you by the Holy Spirit helping you? Do you know in time of temptation, I can resist because the Holy Ghost is in me? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt in times of despair and trouble that come your way that I can get through this not because I'm strong emotionally, not because I'm the big he-man that everybody thinks I am or I'm the big superwoman that everybody thinks I am, but because I am nothing but He is everything and He can get me through? When we face the impossible task, do you feel the power of God as He begins to well up in you, as you just throw up your hand and you say, God, if you don't show up and show out, I'm done. Right? I'm finished. It's over. Listen, That's the helper. You can know that you're saved because God continues to work in you a work that is greater than who you are and what you are. Amen? Listen, we need Him. We need Him. Luke chapter 19, verse, or chapter 16, verse, it's not 19 verses, chapters, right? Chapter 16, verse 19 and 20, Jesus is gone. He is ascended already and is talking about the work of the disciples there. And after He's ascended, gone away from them, it said that the disciples preached and the Lord worked with them. And the Lord worked with them. You see, friends, the disciples, they were just ordinary people, amen, that God called to do a special work. But friends, whenever He left them, there was a comforter that came, a helper, a parakletos, one that come along beside of them. And that's the reason that Peter could stand up on the day of Pentecost in a hostile crowd and say, listen, this man Jesus whom you crucified, He is the Messiah. And he lived to tell about it. And he kept on preaching. Friends, that's the reason that they stepped from a mediocre life following along behind the physical person of Jesus and seeing and watching all the miracles that He did. That's the reason that as He left them, that they were able to go out and to preach and to teach and begin to see people saved and the church was built. And just on ordinary men, how'd they do that? Because the helper, the parakletos, the one from God come along beside them and worked with them. Amen. We live our life the same way. And if you're saved today, you ought to be experiencing that. And you ought to have the promise that He's with us. You ought to have the knowledge that He is with you. And that He's not going anywhere. Amen. Listen, if you don't have that assurance today, something's wrong. If you don't have the assurance that God is on your side, He's for you and not against you, that He's helping you and not harming you, amen? If you don't have that assurance in your life, something is wrong with your salvation. You've either been doctrinally misled or you've gone through some motions through religious means or you had some kind of emotional experience, something you didn't get saved. Listen, if you're saved today, you ought to feel the helper, the Holy Ghost in you, doing what you cannot do of yourself and knowing that it is of God. I'm not talking about lip service. Hell, are y'all with me? It's one thing to say, well, you know, God did this in my life or God did that and whatever else, and I won't go back and preach last week's sermon. But it's one thing to say all of that with your mouth. Sometimes there's a whole false humility about that. Hello? It's a false humility. In other words, there are folks who are saying, well, you know, God did this in my life and God did through them. But what they're really saying is I've done that. Listen, I'm talking about the person that you put to bed every night. I'm talking about that person that you look in the mirror every morning and see. Does that person really know that it is the power in you that is the hope of glory for your life and not yourself? When you look in the mirror, my friends, do you know from your heart that God is with you and He is doing a work in you that empowers you to do His will? Listen, do you know that? If you don't, you're missing out. Because you see, that's just a gift of God. If you're saved today, you ought to know it and you ought to live in it. If you don't have the assurance, you need to be praying. If you truly know you're saved and you don't have that assurance every day, listen, you need to be praying and saying, God, I want everything that you have for me. And I know the Holy Spirit is in me and I want the Holy Spirit manifesting itself. I need that help every day. Listen, if you're not saved today, I want to tell you something. You can't make it to eternity without God saving you. You can't make it to eternal life. Let me rephrase that. You're going to make it to eternity one way or the other. But you can't make it to eternal life without the work of God in you. Amen. Do you know that He's working in you right now? You see, one of the wonderful things about being saved is we get a little piece of heaven before we ever get there. The very presence of God in our temple. Let's stand together for a moment. This is our invitation time. The invitation this morning is for you to do the will of God. Now, friends, I don't know what your need is. I don't know what God wants to do in your life. But I know today that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, if you're lost, that you need to be saved. And if you are saved, you need to be living under the power of the Holy Spirit, who is your helper, your parakletos, every day. To know you can face whatever comes along in life because the helper is with you. The helper is with you. Holy Ghost. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know that you're saved. Live the life God wants you to live. You can. Maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit is calling you to a ministry. He's calling you to a work. He's calling you to be a witness and you're just saying, I can't do it. You're in the right place. Now, finish the statement. But God, you can in me and through me. I'm going to trust you for it. Maybe this morning you just need to step out and come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yielded up 100%. I'm taking an uncalculated risk. It's all yours. Here it is. I'm ready. Maybe this morning you need to pray for someone else. Want somebody to pray with you. That's okay. You can do that. This is your time. You be obedient.